Hello, 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 and welcome to the Velvet Studio, home of Ottawa's queer media, and we are coming at you from the nation's capital.
I feel like you should take off your hat and jacket and stay a while.
Yeah, I look like I'm about to, like, dash off and leave. All right, why didn't I do that whilst you tell folks what's happening?
What is happening?
You can't ask me. I've got my mic off.
You could probably still hear that in the background, even though he's got his mic off. So today we're going to be talking about safety in online spaces. I think it's mostly going to be sort of an MSM episode, but I'm willing to bet that this also does affect women. But over the past, I'm going to say, definitely 5 to maybe 8 or 9 years, there have been a lot of crimes that are associated with dating sites and dating apps. And dating here is between quotation marks in some cases. So if we're talking about things that originally intended on being dating things, but then turn up into hookup mm-hmm. sites like Tinder and whatnot. But yeah, so we're basically talking about like Grindr and Scruff and Tinder.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And
I mean, it's important because it is also very newsworthy.
Yes.
And it worries me because I feel like it's going to get more and more newsworthy in the worst way possible. Because for soaks, there's no such thing as a soak.
Sure there is.
For
you do it
folks,
to your feet.
I do soak my feet. Actually, I used to tell people, would you like a foot soak with non-essential oils? Because I found at Winners like oil essence for strawberry cheesecake, and I'm like, that's just not essential.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so now we have foot soaks with non-essential oil. Because
well, it's not
who needs cheesecake oil? Like,
not essential in the sense of being important, but essential in the sense of being like having having an essence.
Oh.
It's smelly oils. That's what that means.
Oh. I thought it was like, as in like, maybe you might need them.
Like essential vitamins?
Nobody needs, like nobody needs cheesecake oil. Like, why is this? So it's a non-essential.
I think you should take that back. I think everybody needs cheesecake oil.
You know, but if, you know, big hot water in like a kitchen bowl, some salt, some non-essential oil, cheesecake smelly.
Yeah.
Job done. Very relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
Glass of wine. Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt. Good to go.
Does the cheesecake oil have a faint after smell of graham cracker?
No.
Because the base? No. So it wasn't well thought out then?
No, it wasn't. It didn't have like, it's not like a layered candle where like you get like the cheesecake and then like the graham crackery smell afterwards. That would be amazing. If anyone's listening from Yankee Candle, like just look into that.
Yeah, yeah.
Let us know
if
there's a layered cheesecake. Anyway, so Stephen Port, for folks, he is 41. He is from Barking, East London. I just like the name Barking.
Uh-huh.
In East London, and he has been found guilty
mm-hmm.
of the murders of Gabriel Cavori, Daniel Whitworth, and Jack Taylor. And this is above and beyond another person who was found guilty of killing 52-year-old Paul Jeffries in Sussex in eastern England. And the thing that these murders all had in common, and it was just from the past year, and they've just been found guilty now. The thing that they all have in common is that it was done through Grindr.
Mm-hmm.
It was done through hookup apps. They were giving. They were then drugged, and unfortunately, their lives were taken at that point.
Mm-hmm.
In the most gruesome manner. I mean, Stephen Port, who I will just refer to moving onward as that that guy.
That guy, okay.
No. The intonation is wrong. That guy.
That guy.
Yeah, you've got to be... Okay. You're not happy with him, obviously. Murder.
Okay.
But I want to say his name. I don't think he deserves to have his name said on radio.
Okay, anyway, okay.
So that guy who, committed these murders had 19 profiles across 5 or 6 different applications.
Okay.
With the intent of luring in gay men. And this is in Britain. Mm-hmm. Now, there are cases in the United States where this has happened, and most notably there was that murder in Montreal with the guy who chopped up the body. Do you remember that?
The guy who chopped up the body.
Yeah. I am blanking on the name. And then there was a video that went viral because he videographed it.
Videograph.
Yeah. You're just laughing at me now. But there was a Canadian case a couple of years ago, and then he fled to Germany, and it was a big deal.
Yeah, no.
Can you remember the guy?
Germany has a good relationship with Canada. They would happily extradite him.
Yeah, no, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was his name?
I don't know. I'm on Google.
Yeah, tweet us if you know that guy's name. But yeah, no, this all is suffice it to say that, you know, it's not as safe to as people think. And
well, it's part of it is the anonymity people think adds a layer of safety, but it kind of does, but it also adds a layer of danger that a lot of people don't necessarily think of. Okay, here we go.
Did you find the guy?
Is it Dino Dizderevich? No, that's...
I think so.
Pennsylvania.
No, it's not him then.
Yeah.
I like that we can't narrow down which murdering lunatic we're talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. Nope. So, moving on.
Yeah, I'm just looking because I was looking at the... what's the word I'm looking for? The Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC, has been tracking hate crimes in the States. Now, you might be like, that sounds familiar. Didn't you mention that last week? Why, yes, eagle-eared listener, we did mention that last week when there were 400 incidents of hate crimes, which is now 700 incidents of hate crimes.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so
this is not going well.
We will be keeping what I'm calling the Trump hate crime count going as a regular feature of our show as we point out how many ridiculous hate crimes there are.
Oh, yes. Although recently they discovered that a half dozen anti-Semitic crimes here in Ottawa may have been all caused by one dude. And I think if you're looking at vandalism, it often is one person going around doing the same stuff. Just because, I mean, if you imagine, if you're the sort of person to pick up a thing of spray paint or I don't think anybody hauls around a brush and bucket of paint anymore. But, you know, if you decided to do that, if you're the sort to paint horrible things on someone's door, you're probably not just going to do it the once. So the idea that a lot of these incidents are the same person going around again and again should not be alarming. But it's, I don't know, good news, bad news. What is this? What are you pulling up? Tell me what this is.
So this is the guy. This is that guy. So Stephen Port, okay, who I will get around to. And as I mentioned, he was convicted of murdering the four young men, and it was oh my gosh, it's very unfortunate, and it's and the way he did it was also extremely grim, because, and it looked, you know, they're like 18, 19, like these are young men, yeah. 22, you know, trying to explore their sexuality, trying to, you know, learn a bit more about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And he took advantage of that in the most disastrous way.
Mm-hmm.
And it is dreadful and it is serious. And one of the most harrowing elements, I think, and one of the things I think people are most upset by is that he drugged them with GHB, which is commonly used in chemsex.
Yeah, it's a party drug.
And then he put the bottle on them after he killed them and attached a suicide note to their pocket. So it was being, it, you know, it took them a long time to realize that this was a work of a serial killer. There is questions happening. People are asking the serious questions. How can there be so many and the police not think, well, maybe? And they're alleging that maybe institutional homophobia, people assume that gay men are going to go and, you know, get crazy, you know, drugged up, and that gay men are more likely to just take their own lives, and so it wasn't taken as seriously as it should.
Mm-hmm.
And what's extremely concerning, and this is news that's just out now, is that they are investigating up to 52 unsolved murders in the area,
mm-hmm.
Thinking he may have been responsible for many more. Yeah.
It just occurred to me, this reminded me of a movie that I watched over the weekend. I did an hour and a half of radio Monday morning. If you're a regular CKCU listener, you may know that. And if you are one of our out-of-Ontario listeners, then you almost definitely don't know this. But anyway, I was a guest on a show where we talked about movies. And the whole theme of the episode was talking about the relationship between camp cinema and the gay community. Anyway, that's all the backgrounder. One of the movies that I watched researching for this was a movie called Killer Condom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a German language and German made movie filmed in New York. So it was really strange and interesting seeing what Germans thought about Americans. But anyway, as the killer condom was going around biting off the little gentleman of gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. He was removing the precious jewels.
Yes, the precious jewels. The police completely and totally ignored the situation, basically saying, well, these are, because it started off in a common body house, in a by the hour hotel is where the condom was running around. And the cops completely ignored it. They had absolutely no interest in doing anything about it, because the way they saw it, it was just, you know, gays and crazy hookers getting hopped up on drugs and doing stuff to each other. And, you know, it wasn't a pattern of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really strange, because it was a camp, low budget movie, but it was very indicative of the kinds of things that happen in the gay community, where when horrible things happen to gay men, even if it's the exact same thing happening again and again, and it's not happened before. So, you know, one hotel, which has no particular history of crime except for, you know, prostitution.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, people are dying of having their penises chopped off. And the cops are just like, well, you know, it happens. And it's, you know, it's never happened before. And in this case, I mean, all these things where nothing in particular has happened to the gay community along these lines. And then all of a sudden, a dozen or so gay men, you know, quote unquote, accidentally overdose during a hookup in the exact same way. And they leave a note which happens to have the same handwriting. And
yeah,
it's. So, I mean, this idea of sort of not institutionalized, because that means that there's some kind of policy put in place, mm-hmm. but some kind of, you know, like epistemic. Not epistemic. That's the philosophical study of truth. What's the word I'm looking
Epidemic.
For? Systemic is the word I'm looking
okay.
for. A systemic pattern that happens again and again and again, and people are just like, well, you know, dem homos be crazy.
I mean, we don't want to put the fear of God into people. Like, that's not our aim here.
Well, I mean, a little bit.
A little bit, yes, absolutely. Luca Magnotta was his name, with the murder of Lingen in Montreal. In 2012. So that's when that happened. So you know, my point here is that it is not just... There's been a very recent spate in Britain. Two different murders. Or murderers, I should say. Multiple murders. You know, and it's not... You know, this is not something that... that, you know, even in the States... you know, there was a police officer, no, it was actually in Britain, a police officer was killed. And there has been incidents in the States as well. It's really worrying. It is really worrying. So maybe we should...
And even beyond that, actually, even though there haven't been many cases of this happening in Canada, a couple years ago there was a string of muggings that happened in Toronto.
Actually, even so, last year here in Ottawa, we believed that there was somebody targeting gay people leaving a local gay bar.
Okay.
And they were kind of targeting that way. But what we want to focus on maybe a little bit more is the digital element.
Yeah.
Now, for folks who may not know,
I was talking about the digital element.
No, but that wasn't mugging. What are you talking about?
In Toronto.
Okay, yeah.
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
There were people who were going out thinking it was a Grindr hookup.
Oh, yes.
They show up to a meeting place.
Yeah.
And they get their phone and wallet stolen.
Yeah. Oh, it's very common, actually, through Craigslist as well. You go and have you have a hookup through Craigslist, and then they take your wallet. And who are you going to talk to? Because usually, if you're using Craigslist, you're maybe not in the most comfortable position to then go and tell the police that this has happened. And in Ottawa, there was a gentleman who had mugged 5 or 6 other men through Craigslist ads.
Yeah.
And was never caught because none of them told anybody.
Right.
Oh, I lost my wallet, you know, instead of I got mugged.
Well, then how do we find out about them?
It was one person who finally had a frank conversation with his wife and then told the police.
Right.
What had happened. And that's the only way the police knew that it had even began happening.
But how do they know it was 5 or 6? Did they catch the guy and he admitted to it?
No, because then they started poking around and people were like, rumors started to get out.
Oh, okay.
They knew about it. Anyway, okay. So this guy targeted multiple.
You understand my skepticism,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's warranted. But also in Ottawa, I mean, what I found interesting was I was perusing a website of perhaps an adult nature.
Uh-huh. Was it Pornhub?
No, it was not Pornhub. It was Tumblr, but it was like, you know, the not friendly element of Tumblr. And I saw an image of a gentleman.
Uh-huh.
An unclothed, skin-bearing image of a gentleman.
Ooh.
And I was like, hang on a minute. I recognize that smile. The face.
Uh-huh.
I recognize this gentleman.
Uh-huh.
And as I'm looking through this Tumblr website, like a blogging website, the further I go through, I'm like, well, these are all... Mostly these are people I recognize from being on Grindr in Ottawa.
Yeah.
And I've traveled the Ottawa-Toronto-Montreal corridor.
Yeah.
With Grindr on, I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I recognize... And as I'm scrolling through this Tumblr account, I'm like, okay, clearly...
Yeah.
They got in a car in Toronto and just drove up and catfished as many gay men as they could all the way up.
Yeah.
So all of these men had their most intimate photos on a website that I stumbled across. We shut it down.
This is a conversation that I've had with a lot of people. Unfortunately, especially younger people.
Mm.
And it's not necessarily to say that they're stupid or something like that, but a lot of the older gays have been around long enough that they've seen this happen before.
Yeah.
But explaining to people to not share intimate photos online... and a lot of people, I mean, it's just sort of the standard on a lot of the gay sites that like you just send someone a picture of your genitals to say hello. Like you do that in lieu of saying hello.
It's like, not like, hey, how are you? It's like genital photo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really, guys?
Yeah.
Really?
And I don't think they realize that like if their standard profile has their face on it, now I have 2 photos of you.
Mm-hmm.
And this can go into an archive somewhere.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, it is personal archives. And so there are people, and they're very common. There's many of them in Ottawa for sure, where all they do is they start conversations with people. And as soon as they exchange pics, they stop talking.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who are just after...
They're collecting.
They're collectors. Yeah. They have no interest in meeting with you.
There's the allure of the potential of seeing them in the street, knowing who they are, bumping into them at the Rideau Mall, and having those images on your person.
Yeah.
Or, like, on your hard drive, I suppose.
And chances are... chances are, if this has happened to you, if you've been chatting with somebody online, and you send them... intimate photos, and then all of a sudden they stop talking to you, chances are the photo of them is not actually them.
Yeah.
It was when they were in Vancouver, they just started lifting photos from other people's sites, and they sent you, they're like, oh, here, I'll send you my pic if you send me yours. They send you one first, but that was also somebody else's.
I mean, we know, and there's been so many stories of this, where it's often like men pretending to be young girls to chat with, or depending on young boys, we chat with young girls, and it's like... But no, this is literally men, gay men, pretending to be other gay men to get gay men to give them their pictures.
Yeah.
And it's like, really, it's worrying. So we're going to talk more about...
And really, the people doing it, for all we know, they're also young and hot, but they're not they're not disguising their appearance or using someone else's photo because they're ashamed of their own looks. It's so that they don't get caught.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is really
there could be many
to.
Reasons, many reasons.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about perhaps some of the ways that you can stay safe and who you should call.
If something happens.
Absolutely. We'll be talking about that right after.
The answer is not Ghostbusters.
The answer is not Ghostbusters.
The answer is Oprah. It's always Oprah. But
always
we're going to give you the other answer.
Well, there's some other options.
Yes, exactly.
But, I mean, if you can call Oprah, then tell Oprah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah, like, as if it needed to be said.
She'll take care of it, yeah.
I know, it's cool. It's
She's
all cool.
Oprah.
I know, yeah. Or right. Ellen.
No, I would trust Oprah more than Ellen.
Yeah, yeah. But she's now got the Presidential Medal of Honor.
I saw that.
Yeah. She almost didn't. She got locked outside because she forgot her ID. I feel like she should have done what the Queen did, does, and like just turn her head sideways so it looks like a postage stamp.
Yeah.
And be like, I am Ellen. Anyway, so the Hidden Cameras are about to release a new album called Home on Native Land. So we have lined up two songs from them today. This is they're both off the new album. This is Twilight of the Seasons, and we'll be back just after this.
This time, though the past is up, it's aching to convince itself it's spring. Good luck, take a chance. Although you've been stung and your days come goodbye. And the waves lay still in ice. Goodbye, take a chance on this one. I will belong to it, I will be tied this time. This time I'm not used to this, running around looking for return to what we have come. Goodbye. Goodbye. Since there's no way then to fight it, and the horsemen have their way. Goodbye. I'll take a chance on something else, but we'll be dragged by it. You will be dropped this time. Else, get what I got. Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Hello, and welcome back to the home of Canada's queer media. We are
the Velvet Studio. We're the Velvet Studio.
Yeah. I know that. I know
I'm Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian Plant. Just switch it, flip, and reverse it, and we're good to go.
Like, where am I beginning your canoe?
Yeah. okay, moment when.
Trying to keep it light.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So other than Oprah, who should you call?
You should call... I nearly said Ghostbusters. You should call... and it's interesting. And it's not just... I mean, we are based here in Ottawa, but we are aware that this has been happening all over the country. Yep. So, for example, in 2015, the RCMP in Fredericton, New Brunswick... had to put out a press release because gay men were being blackmailed for money. Mm. Or men who wanted to have sex with men through, like, Craigslist and hookup apps were then being blackmailed for money. And you're left thinking, what the heck do I do? You know, what do? I don't want to, like, do you walk into a police station and go, hi, I have a wife and kids, but this man wants to extort me? Like, how do you approach that? Mm-hmm. Well, luckily for you, there is... I mean, if you want to let... If you're not that bothered, and you're like, you know what? Things happen. Because some... I've met some folks who have happened this to them, and they're like, I'll much rather just move on with my life and put that behind me. And that is okay.
Yeah.
However, I would plead with you to call Crime Stoppers.
Right.
Leave an anonymous tip that this is a thing that's happening.
Right.
Because you can guarantee if it's happening to one person in a town or in an area, it's happening to multiple others. And I feel like it's almost like a civic duty to kind of let people know to be more wary and be more careful.
Well, the thing about scams is that they don't really work if you're just doing it once.
No.
Usually with a scam, you make, I don't know, it depends on the nature of the scam, anywhere from like $50 to a couple grand. If you want to get large,
speaking from experience there, or,
well, you know, watching a lot of Trailer Park Boys, but also being aware of how the world works, there are little scams, like if you're talking about card skimmers.
Oh yeah.
The way that you do that without getting caught is you only take $20 to $40 from a person at a time.
Yeah.
Don't take from the same person too many times, that sort of thing, and you just let it add up over time. Mm-hmm. Very, very small amounts in very large volumes, as opposed to some insurance scams, like door-to-door insurance scams or door-to-door utility scams, where people get you to sign up to a thing and they get your information, then they, you know, empty your bank account and walk away. You can only do that so many times before you get caught.
Yeah.
And so if it's a big one, they usually only do it 3 or 4 times. And if it's a little one, they do it as often as possible. Mm-hmm. So if you're talking about Craigslist muggings...
Craigslist blackmail.
Yeah.
And I've been on Grindr and men have been like, I'm not out. I don't want to share my face picture. And I'm like, well, I get that.
Yeah.
But I am not going to meet with you unless I know what you look like.
Right.
And I want to see multiple face pictures so that I know that you are who you are. You know, I want to, you know, multiple platforms. Do you have a Facebook account that I can go and creep into 1942 and realize, and maybe not 1942.
Well, yeah, because Facebook started in like 2006 or something.
Yeah. Like Deep Creep. That's what I recommend. Deep Creep.
Deep
Facebook.
Creep. Just for a blowy.
Yeah, deep like hardcore. You need to know what that uncle's wife's third son on the left-hand side
says. Okay, so there's Crime Stoppers.
Yeah, if you have Crime Stoppers.
If you have any information about them whatsoever, so what do they look like? What kind of vehicle do they drive?
What email address do they use?
Actually, if you do end up hooking up with somebody and there's a vehicle involved, definitely take note of their license plate.
Mm-hmm.
You may be happy you did that later on.
So I just remembered... how they knew there were multiple Craigslist people when I was talking earlier about the muggings. Well, apparently they were under rants and raves and even under the same section, people posting fake ads just to warn people that this person is out there. And, the people have been corresponding, like the Craigslist community, I suppose, have been like interacting and warning people about it. So there's also the Fraud Center, and you can reach them at 1-888-495-8501 or antifraudcenter.ca.
Hmm.
Well, I suppose it's the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center, not the Fraud Center. That's not like where you go to commit a fraud.
To do fraud or no, to get advice on how to do fraud.
How
or,
does one fraud? I don't know.
Getting an introductory fraud kit, you know. We don't have that in Canada.
It's the 80s out of fraud. no, it's the Anti-Fraud Center.
Right.
But first and foremost, if you are in a comfortable enough position or you feel that you can have enough strength to be able to move forward, please contact your local police and let them know. And if they don't take it seriously, there are options. There are other options as well, you know. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, contact your local police. If you're not comfortable with that, call the Anti-Fraud Center. Mm-hmm. If you're not comfortable with that, please call Crime Stoppers. And it's important because the police need to know it's happening in an area. They can't respond, they can't look into it if they don't know what's happening.
Yeah, and this is a common issue because I remember when you worked with the police, how often it would happen that the you would say that there was some incident happening in the community, like regularly, to a whole bunch of people, and everyone was so angry at the police because the police were doing nothing, and then it came up later on that at no point did anybody tell the police. And they just assumed that the police were psychics and had, you know,
they're not actually, I've checked,
clairvoyant knowledge of everything that's happening, and how could you possibly have magical omniscient insight into all the events that are happening in the city and not do anything about it? And it was, no one was reporting it. You need to report these things if you want something done.
Absolutely. And it's, and I think we have a bit of an obligation to make sure that, you know, when I found that website, of course I immediately reported it.
Yeah.
And then deleted my browser history, but that's but no, I mean, I reported the website and we were able to, the people who I knew, I was like, you know, by the way, you've been catfished.
Yeah.
You know, be more careful. Yeah. Be more cautious of it. And it can be very stressful because we're talking about people who, you know, if you've given them that, if you have given somebody your name or your Facebook.
Right.
And they've catfished you. They have access to your grandmother. They have access to your mother, your school teacher. You know, they can know things about you very easily.
Yeah.
And that's where the blackmail element is. You know, come in or I'll poster your penis all over campus.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's not unheard of.
And even beyond that, if they know personal information about you, it's easier for them to pretend like there's someone you already know. Like, don't you remember meeting me? You know, we met through such and such, and then you name someone, you know, such and such is a mutual friend. And we met at such and such's house party, and you just make things up. And again, you know, the Trailer Park Boys.
I was wondering how you knew this. Tactic. I'm like, I'm a bit worried.
Well, okay, so whenever Ricky is a genius when it comes to the cops. So whenever they track him down, they're like, "Oh, aren't you Jim's friend?" And everybody knows a Jim, and they're like, "Oh yeah, Jim. You know, you mean Jim by the docks or Jim who works in the post office?" He's like, "Oh, you know, Jim who works in the post office. No, I was talking about the one by the docks, but you know, the one in the post." And just like make it up and roll with it, and you can get people's trust very easily. And
not that we're suggesting
extract
you do
things
that.
From
no,
them. Well, not, I mean, it's what, know thine enemy, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just because. Because if someone has access to your information, it's much easier for them to pretend like they know you and to get even more out of you.
Now, I am going to say that when I when there is a
when Oprah's not watching.
Yeah, when Oprah is not watching and a feeling is a set about me.
Yes. We should use that as a euphemism.
When Oprah's not watching.
When Oprah's not watching. That's when you use dating sites.
Fornication of the dairy.
Yeah.
No, it's when Oprah's not watching.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm feeling of a certain way.
Uh-huh.
You know, I know that in that moment, I'm not my most logical self. You know, right. I'm not, you know, thinking ahead.
Yeah.
To possible consequences. So we're not preaching from a high horse here. We know the challenges. Actually, I know somebody who...
Well, I am. Here's the thing, though. If you do think about consequences and if you are reasonable, even in circumstances such as this, you end up not getting laid. And I can definitely vouch for that.
So how can we strike a balance? Now, I know somebody who won't take photos because he doesn't find them flattering.
Oh, that's...
Because there is...
You're talking about me, because that's definitely me.
There is
I have a round face and pale skin. I always look fat, regardless of the lighting.
It's very unfortunate. But no, there's somebody, you know, a gentleman's pearl, or pearls, is not the most sightly thing to photograph.
Okay.
So how does one photograph that in the most, in a visually appeasing way?
Are you talking about testicles?
Yes.
Okay.
And, well, the whole kit and caboodle.
Okay.
And the idea being that I know somebody who won't take photographs because he's like, that's not, why would, like, you're not going to put it on the wall, like, why,
it's not visually
flattering, like, yeah. Why are you doing that? And that's a very good way to go about it. But, I mean, if, and we're speaking to the folks there who may take such intimate photographs,
mm-hmm.
And who may then have it about their persons,
mm-hmm.
and who may wish to share it for those moments when Oprah is not watching.
Yes.
you know, how do you go about that in a reasonable way? I mean, at the end of the day, you can't, there's no way, you can't be psychic and you can't know for sure you're not being catfished.
Yeah.
But maybe meeting somebody once first before you provide those images.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I will send you these images, but I want to have a coffee with you.
Yeah.
You know, and then you know what their face is like. Maybe you see if they came in on a bus or in a car.
Yeah.
So if you do get catfished, there's a bit more to go on.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of...
And I can understand there is... One of the reasons why people do a lot of these picture exchanges is why would you leave your house for something that's fake or to get stood up? And so the idea of waiting until you meet in person first, I mean, if you're going to meet in a coffee shop, may as well meet in a coffee shop near your house and just go back to your place.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's not necessarily a bad tactic.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually it is a recommended tactic by a lot of harm reduction things to first meet somewhere.
Public.
In public and spend just 10 to 20 minutes with them, get a vibe for them.
Yeah, because you may discover that, you know, over a latte, their conversation is dreadfully boring. And then you can make the decision, okay, is there going to be pillow talk? No. Okay, cool. I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
Or there might be pillow talk, and I can't stand to be in this person's company for more than 5 seconds.
Yeah. Or, you know, they could be a racist who's fetishizing you because of your ethnicity.
Or they could be fetishizing you, which minimizes your capacity to negotiate consent.
It also means you're probably not going to have a good time.
Yeah. That one's probably more important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, no, consent is most important.
But a lot of people do treat a lot of these apps the way that a hungry person treats the pizza phone number. That you just like, you know, I want to have a sex, so I go on the thing to see what sexes
are available. It's like Amazon for hookups, almost. Yeah.
And so they go through and they're like, this is the sex that I would like to have with this guy. And then they, you know, they exchange
intimate photos,
and then they go, yes, confirmed. And then they go meet with them. And it's the convenience of it all. And why would you leave your house for someone where it's not even going
to
work out?
What we're trying to say is if and when you do that, there is the proven potential of being catfished, having your intimate photos on a publicly available website.
Yeah.
You know, you could be extorted for money, you could be mugged,
you could be robbed,
and you could be murdered.
Yeah.
There have been cases in Canada, the States, and Britain of people murdered through apps. Now, if someone is going to murder you, and you spend 20 minutes with a latte with them, I feel like hopefully you'd get a vibe for that.
They're not going to murder you through the app.
No, it's not like those horror movies where like a hand comes out.
Yeah.
No, it's like, it's people who don't take safety precautions.
Wouldn't it be weird if the Ring also worked as photographs and somebody mounted it on their like Grindr photo?
That'd be weird.
They go through and they're like, oh, creepy girl with long hair. And then,
it comes out and devours. I never watched the movie, so.
Yeah, no.
I'm just going to assume she braids your hair.
Yeah. She French braid or cornrows? What are we talking about here?
French braid.
Or Leia buns.
Leia buns. We don't want to appropriate any cultures except for maybe...
Star Wars.
So get their names. You know, I don't know anyone whose legal name is Tom Top or Sub Bottom. So, you know, what is their real name? Once you know their real name, most people can be Facebook creeped.
Crept.
crept, whatever. It's Facebook creeping. And then once you've done that, you know, you've got an idea. Maybe chat with them, or, you know, by text. Tell them. I always tell people, to be honest, I never check the Grindr or the Grindr.
Yeah.
Please just give me a cell number and I won't miss any messages. And most people do. If you use WhatsApp, it'll come up with their real names, which is pretty cool. And I know everyone's like, I need more pics. But, like, of their face.
Yeah.
Of them in clothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, because if they have been catfishing other people,
yeah,
they would may only have, like, one face pic that they're using to impersonate.
Yeah.
If they can't provide more than one face pic, then you are talking to a troll.
Yeah.
Like, that's... Because who only has one face picture? Like, how bizarre. I have more than one face picture.
I'm sure you do, yeah.
Do you, you also have more than one face
I
picture.
I have more than one face picture, yeah.
Yeah.
So... Oh, man, I had a point. Now I can't remember. What was I going to say?
Well, why don't you think about your point? And we're going to jump to the hidden cameras the day I left home. And we'll be back with, hopefully, Sebastian will have discovered his point right after this. I burned everything I own, left it in a pile of smoldering. Took about a foot out to the wood like an animal. Welcome back.
Hi.
And we are talking about...
There's a lady.
Yeah, in the other studio.
Hello, lady.
The other mic's not on. She can't say hello. You made me forget what I was saying.
I know, right? You did that to me earlier.
I know.
But I do remember what I was going to say.
What was your point?
So a lot of people, one of the reasons why they do the photo exchanges is because they're just curious. They just want to see other people's bits.
Mm-hmm.
And the excuse that I use is that when I want to see other men's bits, there is pornography for that. You can see...
Oh, but they're all the same.
Professionally photographed. Ugh. And, you know, these are the cream of the crop. These are not just guys with bits. These are, like, the best guys with the best bits. Whether or not there's somebody worthy of being with is a completely, totally different conversation. But in terms of pure appearance, if I want to look...
It's like Brent Corrigan.
If I want to look at substantial genitals... then there is a world of substantial genitals out there. Mm-hmm. If I am trying to meet
someone... There's a great volume available.
There's a great volume available. And in both senses as well. There is available genitals of great volume, and there's also a great volume of genitals available.
Yeah.
Do you see what I did with that?
I did that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I'm communicating with a real person online, it's with the intent of actually meeting a person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And... really, so long as he touches the sides, everything else is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying there?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, that's
you've lost me there.
That's
the
okay.
Euphemism has gone too far.
No, but if you're just in it to see bits, play it safe and just go on one of the various sites.
Google it.
Yeah,
but safe search off.
If you are going online to meet people, you should be trying to meet people who are worth meeting.
And not only that, I mean, my bar is, can they maintain a conversation past 4 messages and a genitalia photograph?
Yeah.
Which weeds out quite an awful lot of people.
My main thing is, do they at all seem interested that I'm having a good time? Because I have a rich history of mediocre and bad sex, and it really comes down to they were there to get their cookie, and then no particular interest. You know, me having a good time was my responsibility, and I really do feel that everyone's good time is a group responsibility. I don't think you should.
It's a collective initiative.
It's
almost
a collective initiative. You know, this is by consensus. This is not 50%. This is not first past the post. This is This is a consensus based decision making process.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you laugh, but you know what I'm saying.
If we're not all having fun, what are we all doing there?
Even if you don't have to like indicate that you're madly in love with me. You just have to indicate that at some point in time, you are going to check in and be like,
do a brief survey.
Is this okay? What is happening right now?
You know.
And that's fine.
I feel like we've gone off topic here. We're talking about...
I feel like we are exactly on topic, because if we're talking about when Oprah's not watching, then we need to talk about doing something worthy of
when Oprah's not watching.
Of Oprah averting her gaze.
Okay, that makes sense. So if you are going to engage with somebody who we've now established is worthy of engaging with when Oprah's not watching.
When Oprah's not watching.
To do the thing.
Yes. To do the stuff.
Yeah, with the stuff when Oprah's not watching.
Yeah.
Then make sure that somebody is watching on, like, Find My Phone or Where Is My Friends, like these various apps.
That's an app? Where Is My Friends?
Oh, I don't know. Where's My Phone? My mother uses it to creep on, like, everybody in the family who has an iPhone.
Okay.
Except for me, because I refuse to buy an iPhone. Mainly because, like, what is it, $40 for a new cable? Like, what?
Yeah.
Anyway. But no, there's apps out there which use your geotagging to kind of figure out where you are, and you can buddy up and stuff. So, you know, find someone you can trust and be like, you know what, I'm about to go do a thing. Oprah's not watching. Can you keep an eye on where I go?
Because when Oprah's not watching, someone has to watch.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, digitally, on, like, a pin on the map, so they know where you are. You know, tell your friends, you know, I'm going to go see this person who calls himself this name.
Yeah.
Here is maybe his face photograph that I acquired. So if, God forbid, the worst should happen, you know, be sensible. And I think that what concerns me about our generation, I'm slightly younger than you.
Yeah.
My generation is that there isn't...
Technically, I'm at the top of our generation. You're at the bottom of our generation. You know that, right?
Well, let's not go into ranking. Okay, that's not what this is about.
By top, I mean like I am like the first year
okay.
of the millennials, and you're like the last year of the millennials.
I know, and then there's this new batch, and they're all like post-millennial or whatever they're called. Anyway, so they don't. There hasn't really been that fear of personal safety as much. There's a lot of oversharing.
Yeah,
a lot of oversharing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, so much oversharing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, how do you do things in a safe way?
Yeah,
and I hope we have supplied folks listening with some tools. When things go wrong, now you know who to call. Oprah, or your local police, or the anti-fraud department, or Crime Stoppers. Yeah, absolutely.
Not the fraud department.
The anti-fraud department.
Because they're going to ask you how they did it, and they're going to take notes to put into the fraud starter kit.
Oh, I see. Yeah. And the fraud 101 online course. No, it's the anti-fraud department that you have to contact. You know, and be safe. Be sensible. If someone is only providing you with torso pictures and pictures of a gentleman's jewels. Make sure you get face pictures, multiple in different lighting,
and pay attention to details, because sometimes if they send you just a torso picture and then later on they send you just a bits picture, if they have a tattoo on their right hip that is there in one photo and not in the other, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
That's not how you do.
But a lot of people don't pay attention to details like that, I've noticed. Or they're hoping that you don't.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we will. And now our eagle-eared listeners will also be very aware. Now, I'm sure we have some parents listening. You know, if you're thinking, God forbid, if this happened to my son or my daughter, because, you know, many girls are also sharing photos of an intimate nature.
Oh, yes.
You know, how do you have that conversation? How do you talk about it? And make sure that you're available. Make sure that you are there as a resource. Because part of the blackmail is saying, you know, I'll tell your mother. You know, it'll go disastrous. And it creates that image that you are inaccessible as a resource, that you are... you know, you are a compounded consequence.
Yeah.
And it's about breaking that down and being there and being available. Maybe if you're worried about, you know, if you're worried about it, have the conversation. Yeah. Have the frank conversation. I heard on the radio today somebody talking about exploitation from photographs. What do you think about this? Maybe not that upfront.
I think it's one of those things where people know that their teenagers are not going to trust them because teenagers don't trust their parents. So if you are somebody's cool uncle.
I'm a cool uncle.
Then also let them be known. Because thinking back to what I was like when I was like 16, 17, 18, I think I would have probably might have been okay talking with my mom about this, but I definitely would have been okay talking with my one uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of, you know, being available and making it clear that, you know, these things happen and you're okay with it. And it's less awkward talking about this.
Not with your mother. Yeah. Although, if you are someone's mother, make yourself available. We have to make sure that everyone is able to have a conversation. What we don't want to see is more people trapped, extorted, abused.
Yeah. And if this does happen, definitely let the police know, because they need to know. And if they don't know, they can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they can't do anything for you and you feel it's too late anyway, they've already made off with your wallet, they've already hurt you, they've already done something, and you're not going to see them again, obviously. Telling the police prevents that from happening to someone else.
Absolutely.
So it's an act of compassion for other people as well, to let people know. It's for the good of the community.
Absolutely. If you have any advice or stories that you'd like to share with us, you know, be sure, first of all, to let your local police forces know.
Yeah.
You know, tweet us at Velvet Studio 1, or we are on Facebook or on our website, www.velvetstudio.ca.
We actually remembered to promote social media this time.
I know.
High five!
Yay! Go team! You did not high five me.
No, I know.
What? No, that is unacceptable. You can't build me up for a high five and then just like, peace. That's not cool. Not cool, Sebastian.
Yeah, I'm a jerk. I like saying high five, putting my hand up, and then the moment somebody swings at my hand...
Just putting it down.
Just like... Walk away.
You're the worst. Anyway, we're playing out with Tanya Tagak's Retribution from the album Retribution. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back next week where I believe we are talking about either Halifax Pride or defunding HIV agencies. So it's going to be a good conversation either way.
Yeah.
Be sure to tune in. Mm-hmm. And that's all from us. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening.
Opportunities to crumple and crinkle our souls for that paper, that gold. Money has spent us, left us in small boxes, dark rooms, bright screens, empty tombs, left investing our time in hollow philosophies to placate the fear of our bodies returning back into our mother. Demand awakening. The path we have taken has rotted. Ignite. Stand upright. And conduct yourself like lightning, because the retribution will be swift.